This is The Adoran Show, live from The Adoran Show studio in Jubilife City. Coming up,
discussion over the ARBA draft,
predictions for the draft,
special guest for Viridian Gamblers GM Mr. A, and now, it's Adoran himself. Hello everyone, hello, hello, and hello, welcome everyone. Hope you're doing well, appreciate you checking out the show. This, of course, is the Adoran Show, brought to you by Adoran Region Sports. As always, be sure to subscribe to the podcast and the show however you feel like doing it. Support the show in any way, shape, or form that you can, especially since things are just getting started here. The best thing you can do is support the show, whether you're listening to it on radio, on podcast, or watching the TV show that totally exists for this particular show. Go ahead and check out wherever you're listening to. Make sure you support it. And the best way to do so is to share this with your friends. Share it with everybody that you think would appreciate the content that we've got here, because we have an interesting day for you. This is going to be very, very exciting. The draft is days away. Teams are getting their final scouting measures on, and learning more about what picks are going to be the best for their players. The draft actually is this Saturday, and the hosts of ARBA Tonight, which you can catch on Fridays, will be hosting the draft as well. So I cannot wait for you to check out them, getting more information about the draft and everything in between. Now, it's really exciting. This is finally the moment that all of this preparation, not just from us here at the Adoran Show, not just the people at Heads and Tails, not just the ARBA Tonight people, but the entire network, the entire league, has all come and boiled down to this particular moment. And you're on our journey with us, which we very much appreciate. As always, of course, stick around as we continue more special things. We have our first guest today, Viridian Gamblers GM Mr. A, which will be very exciting to hear about. We've got a lot of questions about their particular style that they're going through the scouting process with, because it is very different than the majority of teams, and especially how they're going about their style. We'll see whether or not it's successful, although common notion suggests that it may not be, but again, this is all up to the results. If this would be the perfect way to stick it to all of us, by using this sort of abstract style and different measure and using it to prove a point in the way of saying that the gamblers are here and they're taking names and they are taking players, and they'll be taking players this Saturday. If you didn't catch it, of course, the draft was last Friday. The lottery for the draft and the order of the picks was last Friday. The actual draft is this Saturday. The order of the draft goes as follows, in case you want to follow along with us. So the order of the draft goes: the Twin Leaf Storm have the first overall pick, the Mount Moon Umbreons have the second pick, the Viridian Gamblers have the third pick, Mauvile Mauls have the fourth pick, the Hammerlock Basketball Club have the fifth pick, and the Slateport Cruisers have the sixth pick. Now, reminder, this is an 11-round snake format draft, which means that while the order goes the way that I mentioned previously, for the first round, the second round, it'll just go backwards. So the idea behind it is that each team has roughly the same amount of value that they can put. Despite that, though, there are some suggestions that I think. There are some winners and losers of the draft lottery itself, and we'll discuss that right now in our very first segment that we may or may not keep depending on how it goes. Winners and losers. So if you want to get the drop,
go big or go home, it's winners and losers.
See, we run a tight ship here. All right, so the winners and losers of the draft. Now, of course, with only three different teams, there aren't exactly a lot of different options, but we did find a couple of winners and one loser. And that's what we're going to discuss right here and right now. Winners of the draft lottery. The first one of the two that we have here is extremely obvious: the Twin Leaf Storm. I mean, with the first overall pick, they now have the selection of basically anybody that they'd like to get. They can choose anybody on their list, and it's a perfect fit, which is going to be fantastic for them. They can choose the franchise player. This could be their LeBron. This could be their Hakeem. This could be their Patrick Ewing. Someone that really takes this franchise and pushes them forward. Now, who it's going to be is the question that they have to decide, and the consensus opinion is that it's going to be one of two different options. It's either going to be Dragapult or Goodra. Depending on the type of team that they have and the structure of the game, I could see either or being the pick, but it really depends on their preferences, and of course they're going to keep that as close to the chest as possible. They're not going to tell everybody what their pick is going to be, very obviously. So the Storm, of course, Twin Leaf Storm have the first overall pick, choice of the pick between the presumable top two players of Goodra and Dragapult. The other winner of the draft, and this is sort of a philosophy that I believe in, this is something that I stand by, if you can get back-to-back picks, you can build the team in your image without needing to worry about other teams disrupting your path or disrupting your style of play. So the Storm have that ability, especially later on, but the team that I think, the second team that I think won the draft, the Slateport Cruisers. You might be wondering, wait a minute, they got the last pick in the draft, how is that useful for them? Normally that wouldn't be useful. Normally this would be a normal draft where everybody has a strict order with the exception of trades, and the Cruisers would have the worst pick in every single round. But this is a snake draft. And with a snake draft, they now have not only the last pick in the first round, but the first pick in the second round. They can get a combination there, a double player combination that can help them in the long term. They could have two players, say, from the same school, or from similar styles of play, or people that are comfortable with each other. You know, this sort of connection that can be built. So instead of having, like I mentioned before, instead of getting the Hakeem, the LeBron, the Patrick Ewing, the all-star play like that, they could get their Shaq and Kobe. They could get their Tim Duncan and Tony Parker, or Manu Ginobili if you want him to be the third. They could get that 1-2 punch that would be extremely useful to build that early going in the season, especially with how short the seasons are. See, this first season, partly because it's a trial run, partly because of stipulations, it's a 10-game season. Each game counts tremendously, especially considering even though there are six teams, two of them are going to be cut. One game can make or break an entire playoff position, or it could push you from one of the top two seeds to out of the playoffs entirely. So now they have back-to-back picks. They're able to pair these two players together and build that connection early on. That's something that the Storm and the Cruisers have that the others don't have, and I think that's how the lottery really helped them in the long term. This could be a way of pushing them forward in a way that helps them create a team that's better suited. It's easier to draft a team when you know you have the next pick, is basically what I'm trying to say. They can pick a player with their first pick, and then pick a player in the second pick that supplements that first one, boosts them up even more, in a way that really helps them out. So, Storm and Cruisers are the winners. The losers. Well, it's going to be one of the middle teams, obviously. It's not going to be the Storm. It's not going to be the Cruisers. And I hate to say this because we have them on the show, but I think the Gamblers are possibly a loser in this draft. Or at the very least, sorry, in this draft lottery. I think the Gamblers are real losers here. They get the third pick in a, what we think, and this is a combination of the media and fans and everybody else, think is a two-person draft. There isn't a third talent. Michael Jordan isn't falling in this draft. At least that's what we're presuming. We don't expect there to be a third player that falls down. This looks like a top two type of draft. And the Gamblers with a third pick miss out on the top two players. They, assuming things go normally, which I'll get into later on in the show, but assuming things go normally, the choice between Goodra and Dragapult is out of the question for the Gamblers, and with an inability to trade in this sneak draft, the Gamblers are stuck in their number three position, which makes it very difficult for them to pick one of these two top two star players. On top of that, their unorthodox scouting style of what they are calling the random spread is an interesting, if potentially fatal, strategy here. Now again, we'll talk with the GM, Mr. A, later on in the show to learn more about their sort of strategy and what they're exactly doing, but for now, it looks like, especially early on, they look like a real loser in this draft, and this is, of course, just my opinion, but they may not get the player that they want in later rounds because of the impact that earlier players have on them. Teams that go after them have the ability to choose their first and second player before the Gamblers do, and when it comes to the first two picks, they're out of the question for the Gamblers. So, summing it up, winners and losers of the draft. The winners, I think, the Twin Leaf Storm have a shot here, and the Slateport Cruisers are big winners in this draft because both of them have the ability to pick back-to-back. Storm obviously have their choice between one of the top two players. The losers, Viridian Gamblers. I think they're stuck in a situation that they don't want to be in, choosing between players that are in a different tier than the top two and not being able to pair up the players that they choose as easily as some of the later picks will. So that's what I think of the winners and losers, but with this draft coming along, of course, we have to do some predictions. So we're gonna do some more predictions. This time, I'm going to put the predictions on paper. We're going to see how many of these I get right. So let's go through the predictions if you want to drop the drop.
I see...
Adorn predicts the future.
Oh, I'll be perfectly honest. We don't have exactly the greatest drops right now, of course, for segments and stuff like that. But maybe we'll get some in the future. Anyway, three predictions for the draft that I think will happen. This is going into it with very little information, not only because teams are actually keeping information to themselves, but also because this is the very first ARBA draft, and we have no idea how teams are going to strike and how they're going to approach their styles and their teams. But regardless of that, I have three different predictions. One of them, a bold prediction that we won't see it apply throughout the majority. We'll have to wait until the end of the season to see how this works. But we'll go into that now. So my first prediction for the draft that I think will happen, number one, bigs are going to go early. We're going to see a lot of centers and big forward players taken early. My guess is probably 3-4 of the top six picks. I'm going to say not even that. I'm going to say maybe like 9 or 10 of the first 12 picks are going to be players that are power forwards or centers. The style of play when you don't really know what's going to happen is defensive bully ball type play. That's the safest sort of way of ARBA basketball that we've noticed so far, and the way that I really think these teams are going to operate. I don't know if they want to take the risk of selecting multiple smaller guards, those three-point shooting, potentially defensive liability guards that are able to put up a lot of shots but struggle on the defensive side. That high-scoring type of offense, type of style of play, I don't know if that's necessarily going to happen this early on. With the first draft, the teams want to pick Pokemon that are more comfortable with a longer and tougher battle. They want to be conservative with their guesses. They don't want to take reaches. In other words, they don't want to pick a player and run an experiment this early on, because the best part about this part of the season, especially with the first season approaching, is that every team is on the same playing field. Every team has the opportunity to go in with whatever scouting budget they have and however many scouts they have and go through and find whichever players they think are best. Now, whether or not that'll actually work is up to a combination of the players, the coaching staff, the front office, and the combination of the three, and how all of them work together. So I'm going off on a tangent. The bigs, I think, is the best place for teams to pick a franchise player that will bring some stability to the team. And I think a lot of teams are trying to go for that big-small combination. They want a smaller player to go with a taller player, a bigger player, and bring that connection together. And I think, especially with the way that this first draft is going, there are a lot more quality bigs than there are quality smaller players. So I'm predicting, out of the first 12 picks, 9 or 10 of them to be power forwards or centers, or power forwards that can play center, some sort of combination like that. Of the first round, over 50%, I think, are going to be bigger players. Number two, and this is a bold prediction that I sort of hinted at earlier, and why I think the Gamblers still have a shot. I truly think, and this might be bold, but I truly think one of the top two players will drop past the top two picks. I think either Gudra or Dragapult is going to fall. Maybe not very long. I don't know if they'll get out of the first round, but I think one of the top two picks will drop out of the top two. And there's a lot of reasons for this. Number one, and I think we're going to go focus more on Dragapult. Because for Gudra, if Gudra falls and it makes it past the second pick, I feel like somebody made a poor decision. If Dragapult falls, then it's the injury concerns. And I think we have to look into figuring out if a team or somebody, who's going to take that risk? And are you going to take that risk with a first round pick? Because as you may know, this has sort of been talked about, depending on how quickly or how much you're following the news cycle, but the draft picks have a set salary already in place. If you're a first round draft pick, you're getting a 5-year, $30 million a year deal. If you're a second round pick, you're getting a 4-year, $25 million per year deal. There's a lot of financial differences here that play a significant role in how this goes into the future. And you kind of want to get the good players locked in for as long as possible and the not as good players locked in for shorter time frames so that you can always re-sign them in the future if they overexceed, or you can get rid of them if they don't do that job. With Dragapult and its injury concerns, it's incredibly important to figure out if Dragapult can stay healthy. If they can, this is a presumably number one pick that is falling in the draft. If they can't, do you really want to spend this much money on Dragapult? Can they stay healthy? This is a debate that all the teams are having, and it's a debate that we're going to keep having until Dragapult either proves us right or wrong. But for now, I think there is a real potential that Twinleaf and the Umbreons both skip out on either Gudra or Dragapult. I'm leaning more towards Dragapult because of injury concerns. And if that's the case, then the other four teams have a chance of taking a steal of a player. A real opportunity here just to take a player that can not only do damage inside, but can do damage outside. Basically, if they were healthy, this would be no doubt number one overall pick. But that's not the case. And so I think that one of the top two players, I think either Gudra or Dragapult are going to drop past the top two picks. And now my bold prediction. This is a prediction that is bold, obviously, very clear in the name, but also it's a prediction that will not be answered until the end of the season. With that said, though, my bold prediction is that the Rookie of the Year this year, the Rookie of the Year, in other words, the MVP of this year, because everyone is a rookie, the Rookie of the Year, the MVP of this year, will not be a first-round draft pick. That is the position I'm going with, which, as you may tell, based off of my prediction for this first round of the draft, I don't think the MVP this year will be Gudra or Dragapult or any other first-round pick. That may be bold. Actually, it's very bold. It's very bold to assume that the first-round picks will not be Rookie of the Year this year. I think some of the best players will go in the first round this year, but I don't think the Rookie of the Year is coming out of the first round. And here's my reasoning why. I just think that this draft is extremely deep. Number of factors in this. Of course, there's a 100 Pokemon draft compared to the normal, based off of the number of teams in here, probably 18-player draft. Big difference. It's usually about 1.5 times. It's usually anywhere between 2 to 4 times the number of teams that many players are in there. So in this case, since there are 6 teams in the league, my guess is about 18 players go into the draft. 12 of them get drafted, and then the other two, the other 6 are as undrafted free agents. But in this particular instance, I think with the fact that this draft is so deep, there's so many different skills, and frankly, we don't know how the voters are going to think the best player in the league works. Are they going to go by points? Are they going to go by a combination of factors? Are they going to go into advanced stats? Is this going to be an eye test thing? All of this combines to make me think the Rookie of the Year, the MVP of the year, seeing as this is the first year, will not be a first-round pick. So those are my three predictions. Number one, bigs are going to go early in this draft. You're going to see a lot of power forwards and centers going early in the draft. Number two, one of the top two players will drop past the top two picks. That itself could have been a bold opinion, although there are a few other commentators that are along the same lines as I do of believing that teams are going to think Dragapult could be an injury concern. And the bold prediction, the rookie of the year will not be any player chosen in the first round. I don't know where they'll be chosen. They may be undrafted for all we know, but the rookie of the year, the MPP, will not be a first-round pick. All right, we're going to take a break here before heading off to the next section, the interview with Viridian Gamblers GM Mr. A. Stick around. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the show. I think we are ready. We're getting the A-OK here. Okay, cool. So, let us dive into it. Joining us now, the very first guest on the Adoran show, Viridian Gamblers GM, Mr. A. Mr. A, how are you doing a couple days before the draft?
Not a problem. Appreciate the offer. It's a real honor to be on the show as the first guest in what is a prestigious sort of organization, how the league is operating, so very much appreciate it.
Absolutely, completely understand that. So let's go into it. How has it been, you know, starting a new team in a new league in a format that's very, very different from other sports teams and other sports leagues? How has this been different from your perspective?
Well, there's been a lot of real differences that we've noticed over time. Just when it comes to the sports league and how a new team is, the difference between this and other sports leagues is that new teams are typically being developed under existing leagues, so there's already some sort of framework available that you're able to go off of. Now, with us, not only are we starting new teams, but we're starting new teams and new leagues and trying to build the rules and everything from the style of play to how many players, salary cap, all of these sort of intricate details that you don't normally think about when you go into the team building process, because you're normally the starter taken care of. These are things that us and the, you know, myself and the other owners are really working together to make sure that we can, you know, develop something that is able to be at the end of the day, well, a successful season, sort of a test run to make sure the future seasons are able to be successful as well.
Yeah, make the perfect sense. And going into more about that, with future seasons, obviously comes an importance of making sure you build a team not only that is able to help you win now, but help win in the future. And this brings up something that a lot of people have been asking. What's all this about your scouting process? It seems very different than that of other teams.
Yeah, different.
much more randomized, I think. And so, real question mm-hmm. to be asking, are you really diving into your team name of truly gambling on this draft pick? Because that does seem kind of risky.
Well, so it's a bit more complicated than that. There's this sort of idea, I think, by either like the news people, the media, whatever it is. There's some sort of idea out there that we're kind of just sending scouts to random locations. That's not the case at all. That's not what we're doing in any way, shape, or form. Instead, what we're trying to do is make sure that we can build not only a good team up top, you know, starters, but we want to make sure we've got good depth as well. And so the best way to do so is to make sure that we have we have people that are going to all different locations. Now, that sometimes means that we don't have the traditional format of scouting particular colleges or particular players. However, I truly believe at the end of the day that our scouting process is going to help us have a deeper bench and really help overall when we develop this entire team. We've got a lot of contingency plans, making sure that we can make our decisions the way that we want to without, you know, having other teams disrupting them through either taking players that we wanted earlier or adjusting their process so that our process is messed up. Just sort of things like that to make sure that at the end of the day, things go well for us. So it does look like we're sending people to random locations, but that is absolutely not the case.
Okay, because that was a thing that was kind of concerning from a lot of perspectives, is this idea that you're just kind of sending people randomly and going from one place to another and just, you know, we'll pick this player randomly. But that leads into the next question. Do you know who you're going to pick? Do you have an idea in mind of who this first round draft pick and other picks are afterwards? How far in advance have you planned this draft?
Well, so we've got an idea in mind, at least, of who we want this first overall pick to be. And a few ideas. We have a couple of scenarios planned out, just in case, you know, something happens that we didn't expect, or from our scouting, or from, you know, scouting the other teams as well, because that's as much of a situation as it is. We've got a few scenarios in mind in case a team does not follow the traditional path, or they do follow the traditional path. But we don't have a lot planned out, only because of the chaos that comes in. We have our board. We've got our list of players that we think are best from top to bottom. And we know, obviously, we want to take the top 10, 15 players on the board, but obviously that's going to be kind of difficult to do. Now, with that being said, we truly believe that our specific strategy is going to help us in the long run to build a team that really represents us.
Okay, well, that actually, yeah. So what exactly do you value in your team? What type of team are you planning on building here? And are you planning, that really is the sort of question that we're thinking about, because a lot of teams can approach this from a number of different perspectives. You could go at this offensively by building a three-point barraging team, or you could build this defensively, like the Grit and Grind Grizzlies, for example, or something like that. Are you going to approach that? Is there anything in mind, or do you have a few different plans for each scenario?
Well, yeah, so in our situation here, because of the uncertainty in what other players are going to do, what other teams are going to do in their decision-making process, it's a little bit difficult to properly say what we want to do. I mean, ideally, we want to be an all-around team. We want to have the highest three-point percentage and field goal percentage in the league while still being able to lock down teams. Best case scenario, of course, we win every game 120-60 and call it a day from there, but that's obviously not going to be the case. With that being said, what we really value are players that are going to work hard and continue to improve themselves every day. Philosophy we have here is if you get 1% better every day, then by the end of the season, everybody's an all-star. So that's the idea in mind. As long as you can pick one thing to improve on each day, continue that process every single day, you're going to be a much better player at the end of the season than you were at the beginning. And as that continues over a career, we've got a bunch of Hall of Famers. That's the idea in mind.
Sure. That makes perfect sense there. Yeah, definitely works with the style that you're working with. So let's go back to that example you were talking about earlier, that 1%. If you get 1% each day, we're not going to do compound interest here, both because that's econ terms and, you know, we don't need to think about that. But 1% better each day, if you just flat out 1% better each day, team's 10% better at the end of the season. Do you think that's successful enough? How successful do you think your team is going to be?
Well, that's a tough question to ask, I think, because of the fact that we just don't know who the team is exactly. Now, obviously, I'd love to go out here and bold prediction of 10-0 and, you know, sweep in the playoffs. But, you know, I have too much respect for the other GMs and understanding their style and how they want to do things. With that being said, though, based on the game plan that we've got in front of us, there's definitely a chance that we could go very far with this, especially if things play out properly the way that we want them to. Real chance here for some big successes.
Absolutely. Wishing you all of the luck that you can in the future, especially with the Gamblers theme. Thank you very much for joining us today, Mr. A, Viridian Gamblers GM. Thank you again for joining us.
Yeah, not a problem. Thank you very much. Happy to be here. Looking forward to joining again, hopefully with successful wins under our belt.
Okay, that was Viridian Gamblers GM, Mr. A. Very, very good man. Very a nice person to talk to. Very good conversing. Opened up a lot of details, I think, about the style of play that he wants his team to have, how he's going to operate this team. A bit of a look inside as to how the new league is being developed, which seems really cool to look at, I think, from a fan's perspective, learning more about the style that the team's going to be working with and how everything is going to play out. Very interesting conversation as well. It seems as though, at least according to Mr. A, that the claims about scouts going everywhere is overblown. A lot of evidence to suggest one way or the other, but at the end of the day, all of this is going to be irrelevant if they win the championship. So, especially if they win the championship early. So that's the big thing that can have in mind. Do you know who you're going to pick? Asking him that
The answer is yes and no, and I think that's kind of what we talked about earlier. The gamblers are in this weird predicament where they have the best choice of the tier 2 players, or at least that's how it's expecting to fall. Of course, I think that they have the opportunity to take one of the top 2 players. They should definitely take them. If Dragapult falls, which I expect them to, I think the easier choice would be Dragapult. I think Dragapult's going to fall. And if Dragapult falls, I think the gamblers should jump on that opportunity. It might be a gamble in terms of injury health, and I know that totally fits into the theme of the team, but definitely think the gambler should take a chance on Dragapult if Dragapult falls. Definitely seeing more gamblers trying to be an all-around team, taking anything that comes their way, and really taking a look at, you know, what style their team's going to have and how that's going to work out for them. But that is going to be it for today. Thank you very much for joining us. I want to thank, once again, Viridian Gamblers GM Mr. A for joining us today and having a quick conversation about the draft before the draft. A reminder for all of you that on Friday is ARBA tonight with our panel basically just talking about, you know, the all the last-minute details that are coming out before the actual draft begins. And then this Saturday is the actual ARBA draft. It is finally here, and I cannot wait to see who is picked. I want to see if those predictions that I mentioned right are the winners, the real winners, are the losers, the real losers. We'll talk about this then. Heads or Tails is next Monday as well. As a reminder, check us out and follow, subscribe, do all those things that you ought to do when supporting a show in any way, shape, or form that you can. Thank you very much. We'll see you next week. Until then, everyone, take care.